Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, New York. This is Bruce Hall, and this is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. And I've had a great day so far. You know, my normal 45-minute drive to work, listening to every decent talk show host in the planet. They're all not on the air this morning. I like to listen to John Kincaid early. He's good. I like to listen to a lot of different people on my way up from Northern Virginia to Columbia, Maryland, where I get to bang on my friend's door and go into his luxurious studio and do the show every week. But here's the problem. This morning, I was so prepared, I left an hour early. I swear to God, I did. I took a shower. I got ready. I packed up. I did forget one little cord that I needed for my flash mic, which I do all my recordings on. It's like a little computer. It's a piece of hardware worth about $1,500. It's probably worth less now that it's outdated 2 years because I tried to get some work. But anyway, make a long story short, I sat at the 7-Eleven and read about four papers in an hour. Hey, listen, I've got a friend of mine on the air. I tried desperately to get a hold of Cale Sanderson after Penn State University won their third straight NCAA Division I championship in wrestling. We had Cale on the show, as many people remember. And we have a lot of wrestlers in New York that listen to the show because Bob, who's on before us and who is one of the greatest announcers and sportscasters and journalists in history, he loves wrestling. And he's always got these high school wrestlers from Westchester County, Northern New Jersey, you know, Long Island on the show with him. And we had Cale on 3 weeks ago, and he was phenomenal. And, you know, I didn't jinx him. I didn't ask him if he was going to win. I would do nothing like that. I'm a banger of wood, always have been. We're going to have Bruce Bochy on the show today, manager of the San Francisco Giants, one of my oldest buddies in the world. But I got John Hanrahan on the phone right now, former All-American from Penn State University. And we're going to talk right now about how those Lions did last weekend. John, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Bruce. It's good to see you. Good to hear your voice. And happy Easter.
Hey, let me tell you, I got through giving John a hard time. Now, John is a family man, always has been. Got a great family. And it's hard to believe. John at one time was, I remember, actually refereeing his high school matches. He's a little younger than me. He looks a lot younger than me. He's former model, right, John? I can say that. Good-looking guy. You know, every once in a while, somebody will flash a picture of yours on Facebook from 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and you look the same, and you don't even get your eyes fixed. You know, you don't do any of that stuff. What you do is you put good food in your body, and you work out religiously, and you still are very close to the sport of wrestling. You and I coached the Herndon Rattler program when our kids were little. When your kids were like, I don't know, 6 and 9, and Davis was about 11, I guess. And we coached that program for 4 years. I mean, we had literally three Division I coaches coaching 60 kids. It was so much fun. And all those kids that we coached seemed to go on to high school and be really good. I just coached my last year of high school wrestling. John, are you still, except for, you know, as involved as you are with amateur wrestling, and of course the situation that we have with the Olympics in 2020 and all the work that you and people like you are doing to try to make sure that one of the greatest sports in the history of man is not left by the wayside because of politics. What are you coaching at all, or are you just, or tell people what you do now?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been down here in Atlanta for about 6 years, and I've had my own private training center, and of course a major part of it is always focused on giving back to the sport and helping youth wrestlers, high school wrestlers, and I've been real proud of the success we've had down here in the Atlanta region with creating state champs. And, you know, I've tried to do that everywhere I've lived. I've lived in L.A. and Miami Beach and Atlanta, and you know, back there in D.C. with you guys. And so that's a great part of the sport, always trying to give back. It's, you know, I think of it almost when you see those ancient hieroglyphics on the old caves and, you know, people trying to impart and pass down moves. I'm trying to do that for the next generation. I think we all try to do that, and that's the great thing about the sport.
Now you were in Florida in the boy, you had a beautiful place down there right on the beach in kind of an area that really wasn't all that populated. I thought it was really great. I saw you used to take pictures every night and post them on Facebook. Florida wrestling, since you and I were in high school, has really come on pretty strong. I think Brandon High School held some kind of national record, didn't they, for wins in a row?
Yeah, and I think they even documented that, and they did a little documentary called The Streak. And talking about streaks, I'm just so proud of Cale Sanderson's streak with three championships in a row. That's really the only streak that's on my mind. It's just incredible what he's done there. And I get to see him when they come down to the Southern Scuffle every year, and he comes down and does a camp down in Rome, Georgia. And I'm just so happy to see the way our Penn State wrestling family has been growing under his leadership. It's just been amazing, and the group of kids that he's been there.
You know, the greatest thing about Cale is just what a modest, just great young man he is. It's hard to believe he's 32 years old. I think he'll be 33 pretty soon, or he might have even just turned 33. And to me, I mean, he's just a kid. You know that. He's a kid to you, too. But he's a kid that has had incredible success because of his work ethic. And the greatest thing, and I can relate to this a little bit, I coach a college wooden bat team in the summer, and I recruit all 30 of my players. When you recruit your own kids, you pretty much handpick them. So you know you've got not only really good athletes, but you've got great people, too. And I think that's what Cale has done a phenomenal job doing. They lost a dual meet this year to Iowa, which was actually really good for – I always like losing. I'm just going to – you know, John, I don't like losing regularly, but I think I did win over – I mean, I didn't win as many matches as you, for Christ's sake. I was never an All-American. I wrestled a lot of All-Americans at East Carolina University. But and when I was at East Carolina, you remember that. That was like early 70s. We were really good. We weren't Penn State, but we were getting there. Lehigh wouldn't wrestle us. Navy wouldn't wrestle us. But the thing that I liked most, I can't remember all my wins. Maybe two or three of them I remember, you know, the championships. But I remember all my losses.
Yeah, that's really where the rubber hits the road. Those are the ones that you're going to dissect and pick apart and never make that same mistake. There's no more valuable experience than going through something like that. And I see that with all Cale's guys. He imparts that good attitude where they're having fun and just going into battle and just giving it their all. And if they do take a loss, you know what? They come out and they learn to do it better and just go back in the room, which is the laboratory, and just figure it out. And they have no better professor than him to really dissect and figure out what went wrong and how to beat that guy the next time.
I was lucky enough to have lunch with him last year when he came to the Washington area. You know, we've got that group, Greater Washington Wrestling Business Leaders, and it's really a great group. And you're going to tell everybody about, you know, we brought the All-Star match to D.C., to American University this past year. And tell everybody what that All-Star match is about, because you got to wrestle Dave Schultz. Hell, I've still got 10 of his T-shirts.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell everybody what that's about.
Absolutely. I was fortunate enough when I was ranked second in the country, and Dave was the number one ranked wrestler, and I was picked to compete against Dave in the All-Star Classic, and there was no better honor than wrestling Olympic champ Dave Schultz in that classic and being part of a team with the best individuals in the country. And
hey, John, hate to interrupt you. Can you stay on and do another segment with us? I've got to pay the bills, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Park Avenue Medical Spa. new NeoGraft hair restoration program at Park Avenue Medical Spa is going on 6 months strong. Receive a $500 credit for any hair restoration treatments booked in February. More info at parkavenuemedicalspa.com. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm back, and on the phone I've got John Hanrahan, former Penn State University All-American, one of my oldest and best friends, great wrestling coach, great personal trainer. John, I'm pretty sure you're still doing the same thing with the company you're with, correct, where you basically oversee a lot of the trainers throughout the country and all the different clubs?
Actually, now I've evolved, Bruce. I'm trying to affect the lives of thousands of corporate employees. We set up corporate wellness programs for with an activity program. We actually put a tracker on each employee and reward them for increasing their physical activity on a daily basis. It's company's Global Fit.
Are you the only principal in that, or do you have a partner?
No, we're based in Philly, and it's a small, agile company. It's been around for 20 years. It started as a gym network to give corporations discounts on health club memberships. But now we've evolved into really pinpointed strategic programs that get behavior modification for employees and get them healthier and moving and more active.
Well, that's how they're more productive anyway. I mean, so many people lose so many days just because they get sick easier or they don't feel good when they wake up and all kinds of things, but you're much more productive. Kids are that way. You know, you notice it during wrestling season. We don't have kids that get sick unless they've got a really bad influenza bug or something. They don't get sick, you know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The more you keep moving, the healthier your body's going to respond and create that resistance level. And you know, just in talking wrestling, I'm looking back on my career. That's one of the things I'm kind of really proud of, that I never missed a match because of a sickness or illness or an injury. But I took advantage of that training room we had at Penn State. I was up there getting ice on elbow joints, knee joints, while everybody else was running off to dining hall right after practice. But I took advantage of the sports scientists and the trainers that we had up there, and it kept me back in the room and back in the mat every day.
Well, Penn State has always been one of the, you know, institutions that stepped forward and stuff like that. Always had great, you know. I'm not going to pretend that there was some pretty weird stuff that happened. That was one guy. You know, and then, you know, that means absolutely nothing to me now. The guy's where he needs to be, in prison, and, you know, people like him need to be put under prisons, to be honest with you. But I got to tell you something. What Cale Sanderson has done there, and he's been there 4 years, right? I think he got there four years ago. He came from Iowa State where he wrestled, and he took over for – did he take over for Bobby Douglas? I think he did.
Yes, that's right.
And Bobby stayed on as kind of a mentor for Cale, and you got to – I tell you the thing that's amazing about Cale, a lot of people who are as, you know how he's kind of shy and he's not really that shy. He's just very soft-spoken. He doesn't say anything unless he's got something to say. And if you follow Cale Sanderson on Twitter, I'm pretty sure it's just at Cale Sanderson. Nothing ever comes out of his mouth that I don't retweet because it's good stuff. And you know he's telling it to his kids on a regular basis. I'm just extremely happy. You were talking about your career when you were at Penn State University, and then you did wrestle in an All-Star Classic. Where was that one held, John?
You know, it was at Lehigh, Stabler Arena.
Uh-huh.
Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Right. God. And you wrestled Dave Schultz, who went to, where did he go, Oklahoma?
He was at Oklahoma. He started his career at Oklahoma State, and he ended up at Oklahoma University with his brother Mark Schultz, who was also an Olympic champion. And I had the pleasure of competing against Dave in that All-Star Classic, and I still have a scar. I got stitched up about 8 different places in my face from the sport of wrestling. I used my head a lot there, but he opened up my eye in that particular match. But we had a great friendship, and he's a great friend. I have the most respect for him. Stepping out against Dave, it was a different type of thought process.
Oh, absolutely! You had to outthink him. You had to outthink him first. Mm. You know.
Yeah, and you just knew the positions you were going to get into technically were positions you had never gotten into before in your life, and you had never had imagined.
And for those of you that are listening to this show that don't know who Dave Schultz is, Dave Schultz was the young man whose life was cut short by a bullet from a guy that was out of his mind. That it was a DuPont. It was one of the DuPont family guys. A guy that supported amateur wrestling, but just was having some severe problems. And unfortunately, you know, Dave died almost right on the spot. Luckily, Nancy, you know, his wife, they won the lawsuit a few years back and, you know, received a sum of money that probably wasn't nearly enough, but it I'm sure helped the kids and so forth. And Dave Schultz, let me tell you something. When he went overseas, John, and you know this, the Iranians, the Rush, everybody loved Dave. Because he was such an ambassador. And, you know, he was just so nice. Like, even if you beat him, you probably feel bad beating a guy, although you wouldn't, I know, because I've seen you wrestle. And you still wrestle, don't you?
Yeah, I absolutely do. Some guys play golf at my age, but I'm lucky enough that my body's held together. I go back in the wrestling room and compete against the MMA guys that need to learn wrestling, the college guys, and just, you know, it keeps me in shape.
Hey, let's talk about Penn State, because you know these guys. Go through the lineup. Yeah. You know, they really were tough in the upper weight classes. You know, they didn't have a heavyweight per se. I don't even think they had a heavyweight that was an All-American. But when you hit the upper weight classes with them, you were in for a battle. Just go through their lineup real quick, and let's talk about these guys.
Sure. Well, let me talk about. I'll first talk about what they call Murderer's Row that starts at 165, and that's with David Taylor, who's just an amazing kid, and he's the one that has lost by 1 point to Kyle Digg, who had made history by winning his fourth title at his fourth different weight class. And then after that, you got Matt Brown, who's
came out of nowhere.
Redshirt sophomore.
Yeah.
Cale had recruited him at Iowa State, and he ended up taking a redshirt year and then following Cale over to Penn State. And this guy, everybody was counting him out, but I saw him at the scuffle where he got caught and pinned by the number one ranked Minnesota guy, but I knew this guy was for real. He is a physical specimen. He's a tank, and he proved that to everybody. He lost a very close match in the national finals to Perry from Oklahoma State.
Yeah, he's a banger, isn't he, John? He's a banger, and he's in great shape.
He's a banger now, and now that he's been on that final stage, we had 5 guys in the finals and 2 champs this year, and, of course, we won the team title. But once these guys have broken through that level, they're going to carry something with them next year that everybody's going to be hard-pressed to take away from them. Because they're right there. So that's Matt Brown. And then after that, you got Ed Ruth, who's the national champ, probably the most dominant wrestler at any weight class this year. He was at the 184-pound class, and he went through the season undefeated and, of course, won by a major decision in the finals over his Lehigh opponent.
I love to watch him wrestle.
He's just smooth as
He reminds me of Cale. He's way back on the hip all the time. He doesn't get all excited when he gets a little out of position, and he's deceptively strong as an ox.
And he doesn't waste any energy.
No, not at all. He's so good on his feet. He can take you down and cut most every wrestler that he comes up against. And then the next guy's the guy I really like.
Quentin Wright.
Oh man. He came and worked our clinic last year. It's in
this
high school.
Amazing kid. He's a local boy. He grew up right here at State College and 4-time All-American and has won his second national title. And he's the one that capped the team title this year. And he beat a guy named Kilgore, who was a had won the championship 2 years ago. And
he was seeded number one, right? Kilgore? He was
seeded number one. Yeah. Everybody thought Q might have a chance of catching him, but Q took it to him, downs and throws, and just dominated the match. Kilgore was nicknamed Killer. Nobody thought he would even come close to losing a match to Quentin Wright, but Quentin Wright just proved his dominance and
took him down twice. Yeah, face. Didn't he take him down, twice?
Took him down again at the end of the match, where usually you'll see a guy stall out and hold on to his points, but Q just hit it one more time for great effect.
Smart. And, that's really just smart wrestling.
You're exactly right. Staying on the offense is the best defense, is the best way to preserve your victory.
Hey, John, so let me just ask you this, because we only got about a minute left in this segment. Then I got to go because I got somebody calling in. And we're speaking of John Hanrahan, former Penn State University All-American wrestler. And he's also, you know, where does somebody go? Where does an executive listening to this show right now in New York go to a website to talk to you about what you're doing professionally now?
They can reach me at my website, privatetraining.com, or our corporate website, globalfit.com.
That's fantastic. Now, real quick, in about 45 seconds, John, and listen, this has been super having you on. We're going to have you on again sometime, because wrestling doesn't get enough exposure. And, you know, of course, I'm a 60-year-old former wrestler, so that's just the way it is. But tell people what they can do to support amateur wrestling in the Olympics in 2020 and making sure it never gets off.
You know, I think just showing up and supporting at the grassroots level, high school wrestling, youth wrestling, there's off-season USA wrestling, freestyle wrestling, but make sure you log on to SaveOlympicWrestling.com and just register your name into a petition. And you talk about ambassadors of the sport the way Dave Schultz was. Recently, we had the U.S. team go over and compete in the World Cup in Iran, and Jordan Burroughs was treated like a rock star there. The whole crowd was cheering for American Jordan Burroughs. It was amazing. So the sport, it crosses all borders,
yep,
and throughout all tribes of the world.
Absolutely. John, thanks for being on. I can't thank you enough. John Hanrahan, ladies and gentlemen. Twin Jewelers, the ultimate in personal jewelry service. At Twin Jewelers, customers become friends, and everyone gets treated like family, with locations in Yonkers and Pleasantville. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Hey, we're back. This is Bruce Hall. Roy, you on the phone?
Yeah, I'm here, buddy.
All right, great. Roy was lucky enough and had a lot of fun this weekend. He was at Verizon Center in Washington, where the East Regionals were, and got to see it was some different kind of basketball. But the thing that I like about what you got to see is you did get to see you saw a big upset.
And I saw a couple upsets.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. Syracuse University, for some reason, those five guys, and probably as deep as eight guys, play that damn 2-3 zone about as good as anybody. And I got to tell you something. When I played youth basketball, because I wrestled in high school, and I played 14 and under ball because I was 2 years younger than everybody, when people ran a 2-3 zone at me, the only way I could score was either to hit a 25-footer or I had to get inside somehow to the top of the lane and get inside the guards. And that was hard, too, because then when you turned and faced the basket, you either had to drive on a bigger guy or just put it up from there and hope he didn't block your shot. And I got to tell you, man, Jim Boeheim and the Syracuse Orange men, they did a great job, and I'm happy for all of our New York listeners that are Syracuse alum and even and the people that just root them on, because there was a time, you know, what did they have, a 2 seed or a 3 seed, Roy?
Marquette was the 3 seed and Syracuse
they were
the 4. Seed.
They were a 4 seed and there's a good chance this team could win the national championship. I mean,
yeah, their zone. Everyone's been talking about the 2-3 zone down here, and it's not your traditional 2-3 zone. It's closer to a 2-3 match.
Yeah, I agree.
They trap the corners, and they play sort of a man-to-man when the player's, you know, in their zone, and they see him out of the zone. So it's not your traditional 2-3 zone. It's closer to a 2-3 match. And Brandon Trish, I asked them before the Indiana game if pulling Indiana and playing against a game against a team that they weren't too familiar with, if they'd rather drew somebody like Marquette in the first round and someone who they were familiar with, he kind of laughed and he said, you know, well, Indiana's not familiar with us either. And he touched on that a little bit more after the game and said, you know, everyone's been saying, you know, that we weren't familiar with Indiana, but our zone is so different. You know, no one's seen our zone. You know, you can try and prep for a 2-3, but with our length, and they don't have a, you know, in their starting lineup, they don't have a player under 6'4".
It was extended.
Brandon Trish is their smallest guy at 6'4".
Yeah, it was an extended zone, but what I was most amazed with is they literally made the opposing team burn almost all of their clock, and they still didn't even have a good shot when it was over with. What I'm trying to remember what Indiana hit from the field. It wasn't much, was it?
I don't have the Indiana game in front of me, but Indiana
it had
shot,
to be around 30%. I mean, it wasn't much at all.
Yeah, they didn't shoot very well. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they didn't shoot very well. And Syracuse outbodied them. The Indiana coach, both and on all the players in the press conference, they're all saying, you know, this Syracuse team is a long team. You know, we weren't ready for their zone. We haven't seen something like this. I mean, they were very, you know, positive about the way that how they turned Indiana basketball around. They didn't take anything away from the Syracuse zone, and they said that, you know, this Syracuse team is very, very physical, which is what a lot of people thought they were going to have problems with the Marquette team. Marquette beat Syracuse earlier in the year. I think 74-71 the last time they played, but that was during a 3-game slide where Syracuse, you know, had to go on the road. They played Louisville and they played Georgetown during that. I think they lost 4 or 5.
Well, I mean, but you look at that Big East schedule. I mean, you're going to lose games, and that was the whole thing about this year. Everybody lost 6 games, you know, pretty much. I don't know if Indiana did or not, but the Big Ten is definitely not the Big East, and we're seeing that right now. I think.
Yeah.
Don't you?
No, I agree. I think the Big East is the toughest conference in America. I mean, when you play against those teams, Boeheim mentioned that he didn't lose to a team that wasn't ranked in the top 50 all year. So not many schools can say that they didn't lose to somebody in the top 50. That means you're pretty much on your game every week. And you look at a schedule, you look at a 6-loss team, or you look at a 9-loss team. Marquette lost 9 games this year.
And you know what? I'm pretty sure that the Shockers lost 9 games too. And where did they come from? I mean, what an athletic group. But when guys started falling out yesterday, you kind of had a feeling Ohio State was going to come back. But I'll tell you what, I'm so happy Wichita State won that game. I just think that they deserved it. You know, hell, they were almost up by 20 points in the second half at one time.
Yeah, they played a very physical game. I didn't get to watch as much as the Wichita State-Ohio State game as I would have liked. I was running around the Verizon Center. But that Wichita State team, I mean, they're a very physical team. They bounced Pittsburgh, who is a very physical Big East team, leading up, and then they upset Gonzaga. That blew up everybody's bracket. But, I mean, that's a very good basketball team. And, you know, the names in the NCAA tournament these days don't mean as much as the players.
Right.
And I talked about that, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, that parity in the NCAA these days is everywhere, that everybody has that one or two good players. You look at Florida Gulf Coast, their point guard, I think his name is Comer, he played with Austin Rivers in AAU, and growing up they played high school ball together. You know, he was a big name. I mean, he was a big name in high school, and I think his father died his senior year, and that kind of put him under the radar, and he had a tough time recovering from that, as anyone would. And he ended up playing at Florida Gulf Coast. I mean, that kid is a very, very good basketball player.
Yeah, you know what? Gulf Coast, excuse me, their point guard turned the ball over 9 times and they were still within 7 points at one time. Those kids are just great athletes. Let's do this because I want to go on from this a little bit and talk about the matchups today and then the possible Final Four matchups. Roy, you were there all weekend. Who do you think was the best player you saw? Pick one right now.
If I had to pick one player, it'd be Michael Carter Williams. Carter Williams, he's a sophomore guard from Syracuse. He ended up getting MVP of the East Regional. The kid led the NCAA in assists for most of the season. He pretty much controlled both games, the Syracuse-Indiana game and the Syracuse-Marquette game. I mean, he completely controlled the game. He wasn't the leading scorer yesterday. He had 12 points. But he also had 8 boards to go with that, and he had another 6 assists. I mean, the kid was all over the floor, and he runs the top of the zone. Him and Brandon Trish run the top of that zone, the 2-3. So, I mean, this team is very, very good defensively. I think that's what Syracuse has going for them. And I tweeted out before the Indiana game, I said, if Syracuse is on their game, they're going to hold the opponent to under 60 points. That's Syracuse basketball. Is if they hold you underneath 60, they'll beat you because they'll control the clock, they'll control the ball, and they'll control you. And if you're scoring under 60, that means you're not shooting very well from 3-point range, and you're playing into their hands.
All right, let's talk about today's games real quick before we have to break for some commercials.
Sure.
Michigan, Florida. Who do you like? I'm just going to say right now, just gut tells me Michigan. What do you think?
Coach Beilein, his teams are very streaky. You know, and you saw that this past round when they played Kansas, where they got down early. I think they were down 14 at one point, and then they came back in the second half, made that run, forced overtime, and Kansas should have tied that game up. The guy passed up a dunk to pass it out for the win, or the 3-pointer, which I still don't understand. But the Beilein team is a very streaky team. Beilein used to coach at WVU, so I've watched a lot of Beilein basketball, and they shoot the three. So I think Florida is the more balanced team, and if Florida plays their game, they should beat Michigan. But if Michigan gets hot, they could pull it off. But I'm rolling with Florida. I think they're the more balanced team.
I think you're probably right. I'm just going with Michigan as pure gut because I just think, to me, they just look real physical. I mean, especially down low. They're good size, and like you said, it's up to the one and the two there to win the game. If they don't, if they don't hit 40 to 50% of their shots, they're not going to win. All right,
if Michigan gets streaky, they could get past Florida and Syracuse and be playing in the national championship.
Yeah, you're right. I think any one of these teams, because I know how you like Duke, and you know what, I got to tell you, you were right to this point. I mean, they've looked at times unbeatable, but they're playing Louisville today. Who do you like? Do you like Duke still in the Final Four?
This game to me, I do like Duke still.
This should be a Final Four game, shouldn't it?
This game to me is one of this whole bracket. You had Duke Michigan State, which was a huge game that shouldn't have been a Sweet 16 game, and then you have Duke Louisville, which is another. I mean, that's to get to the Final Four. That's
right.
Not a Final Four game. That's to get there. So that whole bracket to me was just so loaded. And then you look at the Gonzaga bracket down low, that was kind of wide open. So, this is another toss-up. I do like Duke. You have Coach Krzyzewski and Patino.
Right.
What other?
Well, how many wins do they have between them? Like, 1,600 or something? It's ridiculous.
I mean, that's two Hall of Fame coaches going at it to get to the Final Four. I like Duke, but, Louisville's the number one overall seed. You can't count out Louisville, but Duke has been on such a tear. I know they lost to Maryland in the ACC tournament, but I made the point that, I don't think that was that big of a deal. It rested Duke after they had been on like an 18-game win streak or whatever it was. You know, they'd been playing really good basketball up until that point. So what? They lost to Maryland in the ACC tournament. They were already a lock to go to the dance, and they got a 2 seed. So, I really like Duke. I think they're hot. They're coming in. So I like Duke to go to the finals. You know, I've been saying that all along, so I'm just going to stick with my gut, I guess.
All right.
Toss up. Flip a coin. You know?
Hey, you got it. Listen, Roy, we're going to talk a little baseball when you get back. And our buddy Tony Mazur is going to call in from Cleveland around 11. Bruce Bochy's probably going to call in around 11:30. So you know, it's pretty full today. Listen, I want to wish you and your family, tell your mom and dad, and your better half and that great looking kid of yours that I said happy Easter, and try not to eat too much chocolate, will you?
Try not to.
All right, buddy. We'll be back in a minute. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. Roy, let's talk a little baseball real quick because, it's really ironic. Today is the opening day. I don't know why Houston is even in the major leagues right now, but they are. They have a $23 million. A-Rod makes like
more than their team,
60% more money than their team, and he won't. He's terrible. I will say this: they've got a good manager. You know, Bo Porter is going to be a good one, but pretty soon, what's going to happen with the ownership group in Houston is they're going to find Bud Selig running their team, like they did in Montreal, you remember, before the Nats came to Washington.
Yep.
And you know what? I wouldn't disagree with that because, look, if you don't have any money, get the hell out of Dodge. Go find something to do with $23 million. To run a major league club, you need $100 million payroll, pretty much. I mean, there are teams like Tampa Bay, Oakland, that do it with far less, but it's not $23 million, you know? It's pretty ridiculous. Let's talk. You know what? You know how big I am on reading, Roy?
Mm-hmm.
This morning, if you guys go online, Baltimore Sun's got maybe one of the best four-page write-ups on Major League Baseball. They use a guy named Phil Rogers, who's a Trib reporter. He does a super job of breaking down everybody. I almost agree with this guy. I mean, you know how hard that is? Let's start with the National League East, since the Mets are so good. I mean, they really are. They're not going to finish in last place, Roy. They're going to finish in probably third or fourth. Fourth, probably. Third's a little bit of a long shot. Second is a dream. In first place, they'd have to put the entire group in a mental hospital if they think they're going to get first. Now, according to Bobby Valentine, you got to be believers. I read a great article in the Post this morning, an interview session with Bobby Valentine. Let me tell you something. Bobby Valentine is a class act. I don't care what you think about him when he puts a baseball uniform on. Yeah, he's a little different with the uniform on. But as far as being a person, he's a top-notch person. And the interview that he did in the Post, which was a full-page interview today, I recommend every New Yorker, every guy in North Jersey, everybody in Connecticut, which is where Bobby is from, read that. It's a great, great piece. Unbelievable. And he even talks about the night that he got locked up because he was screaming at a bunch of hookers to get away from his get away from his bar. It was pretty funny. The cops came and locked Bobby up. They let the hookers go. Go figure that. I guess they must have been greasing the right palms. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce Hall. I got Roy G, Roy Edwards on the phone after a long, hard. Did that take it out of you a little bit? Because, Roy, I saw your pictures. You were everywhere. Now, Haley was taking some pictures, too.
Yeah, we had Haley. She was on the floor.
How many employees did you have down there, and how many people did you sneak in? I want to know right now.
I didn't sneak anybody in.
No? What good are you?
But there was three of us covering.
That's great.
We were running around. Yeah, I mean, the day one.
What was the food like? I don't care about anything else. Was the food any good there?
Food was awesome. It was.
Was it catered by somebody? Probably.
Yeah,
it wasn't their food.
No, it was barbecue. I don't want to say the wrong name.
So no, then don't. But I bet it's one from downtown. Pretty sure.
They had pulled pork, and it was one of those barbecue places.
Gotta love
that. I don't
want
to say the wrong name because they were very big on advertising there. You couldn't even walk around with your non-NCAA cups. You had to pour your drink into an NCAA cup. So I don't even want to flirt with.
Now, did they sell beer? Were they allowed to sell
no.
beer?
No beer.
There was no alcoholic beverages with 19,000 people in that place?
Yeah, no alcohol.
So did they charge? Did they charge?
To sell alcohol, but NCAA prohibits it.
Hey, Roy, did they charge $10 for a Diet Coke?
I got all my stuff.
No, I meant like the normal people, the little people,
yeah,
Roy, not you.
I didn't. Honestly, didn't get a chance to talk to many people. I was too busy running around.
I got to tell you, I loved watching it on TV. I was on Twitter. I was, you know, back and forth with you. I want to tell you something, man. You did a great job down there. Did Sportsman Cave?
12 hours the first day.
Did Sportsman Cave like do everywhere? I mean, that's basically how people could have picked you up on. Was it iHeartRadio or?
We were on SMC Radio. We did a live show. We also had a show go out of Home Team Grill in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
How cool is that? Because those people don't want to drive an hour and a half and come to a ball game. They'd rather listen to you.
Yeah, so we had a couple of shows run yesterday. And then Thursday, you know, we had a bunch of write-ups, a bunch of pictures. If you follow us on Instagram or Twitter, you got all of that behind-the-scenes stuff. John Harbaugh was there. I got an interview with
yeah,
John.
Yeah. It was a little clip, and I've got it somewhere. We'll probably play that next week when you get back.
Yeah.
You know, when you're gone, I have to, you know what I do? I get like four people to call in. We had John Hanrahan, former All-American. Oh, and by the way, Roy, former alum from Falls Church High School, your high school. John Hanrahan was a two-time state champ at Falls Church in 1977, 78, and I think he was second in the state in 76. No, he was a state champ in 76, too. He was a three-time state champ, went to Penn State, you know, on a ride, which, you know, that's top 10 every year, Penn State anyway, before Cale Sanderson got there. But back then, they had their head coach was a guy that's at Robinson now, Steve, and I can't think of his last name to save my life, but he wrestled at Old Dominion, and I probably called four or five of their matches that year as a referee.
Falls Church is, when I was there, Falls Church was very good too. We had a guy, Teddy Brown and Tong Ho. Tong Ho went on to wrestle at JMU, and they were, I think Teddy got third in the state, and Tong, he might have won.
Well, let me just say this. They weren't nearly as good as they were when Hanrahan was there, because they had about six, seven guys that all placed in the state. And I think they got second or third place that year. But listen, let's talk about National League East. You know, everybody, you know, the pick, the comfortable pick, you know,
popular pick.
Yeah, it is a popular pick is the Washington Nationals. I'm not picking them only because, you know, I don't want to jinx them. Number one, everybody that when they went up 6-0 in the third or fourth inning against St. Louis in game 7 last year at Nationals Park that screamed, oh, I got to make plans for the World Series now, they all jinxed them because they never even got a, it's baseball. There's no clock. So you don't know what's going to happen. You really don't know what's going to happen with their starting rotation. You know, you hope Strasburg's okay. You hope Jordan Zimmermann is okay. You hope Gio's going to be okay. You know, they've got, you know, John Lannon's gone. He's in Philly, but they still have
Dan Heron.
Well, they got, Well, Dan Heron's struggling right now. And there's a reason Dan Heron was available. And that's because he's not the old Dan Heron he used to be. Now, having said that, the Nats have backup. They've got good guys in Double A. Well, they got good guys in Double A, Triple A. You know, and they're going to be fine. And their bullpen looks good. Although I'd like to see a better left-hander in their bullpen because they did lose their left-hander out of their pen. And you know that, you know, like it or not, he did a great job. But I got the Nationals. I'm not going to say it loud, but yeah, they're probably going to win it. The Atlanta Braves, I see them as a wild card in the National League. They could beat the Nats. I mean, it could happen, but I don't think, and you tell me what you think, but I don't think that their starting pitching is as good as the Nats. And I don't think, I'm going to tell you, even with the Upton brothers and Hayward and, you know, Brian McCann, they don't know when he's coming back. You know, they lost Martin Prado. You know, nobody really knows how good these guys are going to be. They still have, you know, they still have Dan Uggla, who hit like gangbusters for a month or two, and then he disappeared last year. The Washington Nationals have a better lineup, and they have better pitching. I think that Atlanta may win 90 games, but I see Washington winning 96, 97, 98 games again. The Phillies, a lot of people won't count them out, Roy. I'm counting them out. And I'm going to tell
right
you,
there with you.
They're all, listen, you know, I saw Ryan Howard on TV because I was in Arizona, and I had to, if I wanted to watch the Braves, I had to watch television because they're not in the Cactus League. Obviously, they're in the Grapefruit League. So I'm watching him. When he runs, he's still limping. Well, you know, excuse me, if you're limping, are you healthy? I don't think so. You know, and it's just a matter of time before Utley's wrist goes again. Yeah. In my opinion, it is. They've lost some guys. You know, they've lost, I think, the heart of their veteran lineup in the outfield with two or three guys that took off. Yeah, they got good guys coming up from the minors, but how good is their pitching? Cole Hamels is making, what, $22 million a year now? He's a jerk. Did you see him yesterday? Did you see him? Yeah, there is literally a clip of Hamels. They're talking about his mustache. It looks like a porn star mustache, kind of neatly trimmed. I mean, it looks like
Philadelphia eats that up, though.
Hey, but can I tell you what? They'll eat up the fact that he buried up to his second metacarpal, digging some gold in it out of his nose. Anyway, we're going to be back in a minute with more from Roy and from me. We're going to be talking National League and American League Baseball. And Bruce Bochy will be on the show from probably 11:30 until whenever we sign off. It's Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute.
This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play it, just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. And I'm pretty sure I've got our buddy Tony Mazur on the line. Tony, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, thanks for coming on Easter Sunday. I hope I'm not taking you away from a lot of chocolate. Pretty exciting weekend we got here. Got two more NCAA games to determine the final four today. Real quick, Tony, but you know, I don't know how close you're following these games. But I know that you were up in Michigan, weren't you, watching somebody play early? Was it last weekend that you were doing that?
Yeah, I was up there for, they call it now the second round, which is ridiculous. The play-in games, they're now calling the first round for some reason.
Right.
And but I was up there for some awful games. The first game I saw was Valpo and Michigan State, and it was St. Mary's and Memphis, which ended up being the best game there. And it really was not that good of a game. Michigan versus San Diego State, and then VCU versus Akron. And I got to say, as I take a look at the Big Ten and being up here in Cleveland in Big Ten country, it's certainly we certainly get a lot of Indiana, a lot of Wisconsin, Ohio State lost last night. But Michigan, you know, for us Ohio people, it kind of pains us to say it, but Michigan, I really like their team. And I could see that team, they're not going to stick together. Trey Burke is going to be a lottery pick, and Tim Hardaway Jr. will be in the draft. Glenn Robinson, the third, which is amazing. I'm already saying these guys are they're
yeah, you're
tons
like,
of players.
You're like 25, right? 24?
Yeah, I'm 25, so yeah,
that's
I
great.
Grew up with
Big, getting old.
Big Dog and then Tim Hardaway.
They're all good.
But
I agree with you.
I like Michigan, and I wouldn't be surprised if they shocked the world here.
You know what, I do too, and Roy took Florida, and I love Billy Donovan, but you know, that team to me, you know, they can get beat, you know? I mean, and I've seen them get beat three times this year. One time they got beat by like 14 points. I mean, when they're not shooting, they're in trouble. And Michigan, to me, have the better – I think they've got the better guards in the tournament. And I really think they're – for a Big Ten team this year, they're pretty brutal. I mean, you know, they're physical on the boards. I like them, too. Who do you like in the other game?
Well,
Louisville-Duke. I mean, it's easy to root against Duke, you know. It works for me.
Louisville, when I took a look at Louisville, they're a team that just in every facet of the game runs up and down the floor. They've been one of the only teams in this tournament to just blow out every single team they face. It hasn't even been close. And I've got not only do I have Louisville winning this and heading to the Final Four, I have them winning it all. Absolutely.
You know what? They do have a very well-balanced team. They run the floor, I think, better than anybody. What did you think of that? How about that Syracuse defense? Is that amazing, the way they play that 2-3?
Absolutely, yeah, because you don't see that in college basketball. You have very athletic guys out there playing man, and when you have a 2-3, you're forcing guys to start throwing up outside shots, and Marquette was not stepping it up from that point. So that 2-3 defense is fantastic.
Yeah, they're not a great shooting team all the time anyway, Marquette. And you could tell they're not a great penetrating team either. It almost was going to take like a, you know, like a 3 or a 4 to somehow get to the top of the key and work his way in and draw the big center that was blocking all the shots, draw him to the outside and pass off. So you just never know. Listen, let's talk real quick. One of your favorite things to talk about, which is baseball. We're going to talk Cleveland Indians baseball, but I'm going to let you break down the Central in the American League. Is that cool?
Yes.
All right, here's a hard... What's that?
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. What I was going to say is, here's a tough question. Are the Tigers going to win it?
Tough question? God, that might be the toughest question all day. Every team, I believe, is going to be playing for second. That Detroit Tiger team, you have Hannibal Sanchez for a full year now. Max Scherzer, who really stepped it up. You have Doug Fister, who's a fantastic pitcher. And, of course, some guy named Justin Verlander. And if you throw in a Rick Porcello who can step up and be the fifth starter, that team could be it's a 100-win team right there. And then, of course, you have the lineup. They upgraded instead of they shed the Brennan Boshes and the Ryan Rayburns of the Toledo Mudhens / Detroit Tigers bus fares and picked up Torii Hunter. That was a great move by them. And Detroit, I believe, is going to run away with this. Not that it's any surprise to anyone, but I believe everyone else is going to be playing for second here.
No, I couldn't agree more. Now one of the most exciting teams I saw when I was in Arizona was the Kansas City Royals. You know, for the last, I'd say, 5 years, they've been deemed as one of the top, if not the top, minor league organizations and scouting groups in all Major League Baseball, and you started seeing it this year. You know, Hosmer's up there now. You know, their third baseman is there now. they're bringing up all of their kids. I mean, I want to say that they won over 20 games, too. I want to say Kansas City won like 23, 24 games this season in spring training. I just think they're going to be tough. But you know what? If they get second, I don't see the White Sox improving. I see them dropping off a bit. What do you feel like about the White Sox?
Well, the White Sox are they lost A.J. Pierzynski, who had a career year, had 27 home runs, had no clue where that came from. Paul Konerko's slowing down. He might end up being one of those player manager types or player coach with Robin Ventura. Basically, they're banking this team on Chris Sale, who I actually have winning the Cy Young Award this year. Even though I don't think Chicago's going to do anything, it's maybe a 75-80 win team. But Chris Sale is a live arm FGCU guy that we saw the other day. But Chris Sale, he is a... I heard somebody say he was like a left-handed Jared Weaver, and I kind of agree with that.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that.
He throws a little three-quarters, kind of almost sidearm in some ways, live fastball, and he's developed this changeup that is unstoppable. And I think the White Sox may not win too many games, but they'll win plenty when he's on the mound.
Yeah, now let's talk about your favorite team, who most people have picked for fourth place, but I kind of like the Indians beating the White Sox this year. If they can get some pitching, if they can get some decent starting pitching, they're going to score some runs. Listen, if you score 4.5 runs a game in the American League to 4.8 runs a game, I can see these guys winning 80 games this year and finishing in third place. Who do you, are you up on the Indians right now, or do you think that they still have some work to do with some pitching?
They have plenty of work to do. I the way I look at the division right now, I have the Tigers, Kansas City, the Indians in third, White Sox four, Twins are distant five. And the reason I say the Indians like that, even though Michael Bourne they picked up and signed to big money, Nick Swisher, Mark Reynolds, Brett Myers, they were all signed on in this organization or in the offseason to this organization. What that tells me, because this team, we've been told they're such a small market team, they can't afford these guys. Well, all of a sudden they can. That tells me the organization, the minor leagues, run a little dry. And that's been the case. They have some guys like Trevor Bauer and Daisuke Matsuzaka being a low-risk, high-reward guy in the minors. But their rotation is going to be brutal this year.
Well, you know,
Ubaldo Jimenez can really step it up. Brett Myers so far has 11 ERA in training. They signed him to a $7 million deal. And converting a guy who's been a reliever the last few years to being a starter again is a tough task for anybody who's ever played the game.
Right. Tony, can you hold on and start another segment with us? And
sure.
We'll be right back. Talking to Tony Mazur from WKRK in Cleveland. I just saw where you guys are doing the radio for the Indians. That's great. The ultimate in personal jewelry service at Twin Jewelers. Customers become friends and everyone gets treated like family. With locations in Yonkers and Pleasantville. Park Avenue Med Spa. New NeoGraft hair restoration program at Park Avenue Medical Spa is going 6 months strong. Receive a $500 credit for any hair restoration treatments booked in February. More info at parkavenuemedicalspa.com. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230. Actually, it's News Talk 1230 WFAS. And so the conversation.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Hello, it's Bruce Hall. I'm back. I think we've got a certain National League manager on the phone. Boach, is that you?
Hey, Bruce. Hey, good morning.
Hey, happy Easter, Bruce. I can't thank you enough about coming on. Did you have to buy Kim some chocolate last night?
Well, I got to take her out to breakfast since I got her up. We're in California, so it's 8 o'clock. We take off today at 3 o'clock to LA to open up there tomorrow. So she's waiting on me to run her down to her favorite breakfast place.
Now you just had a couple of your last preseason games in that sold out stadium of yours, AT&T Park, with the Oakland A's, correct?
Yeah, we did. We had a base series with them, and just incredible here in spring training. We're just packing the place. These fans are so excited about this ball club and the season. But to have our ballpark sold out for spring training is really amazing. And we know how lucky we are, and it's really a neat thing we have here, Bruce. The success helps and win a couple World Series, but even before that, we just have I think one of the biggest fan bases in baseball. And they showed up here in spring training.
Well, you know, as you know, fortunately or unfortunately enough, you always take care of me when I come out there, and we go way back. But, if somebody's never been to Scottsdale, Arizona, or to Arizona, to the Phoenix area for spring training, a lot of the people back here on the East Coast go to Florida. There's no comparison, is there? I mean, Arizona is, in my opinion, is just where you want to be. And Scottsdale Stadium, didn't you guys sell out that park every game this year?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'll say this. Spring training is one of my favorite times of the year. I just love it. You're getting back on the field, and I tell the fans, if you want to you know, get up close to the players, see the fundamentals, see the minor leaguers. It's just so much easier in spring training. And but as far as my preference, sure, it's Arizona at spring training in Florida, and I do it here now in Scottsdale. And it's just easier, you know, traveling here in Arizona. I think the players would tell you the same. The weather's more predictable, but, I mean, your longest drive is maybe 45 minutes to any club that you want to go see. Great restaurants, great weather. I highly recommend it, and I do prefer it over Florida.
Listen, your team obviously coming off of your second National League Championship and World Series Championship out of 3 years. This year, I mean, I got all kinds of wood here, Boach, so I'm banging on most of it. But, you know, if things work out for you with this team you managed to keep together, you and, of course, your great general manager, Brian Sabian, who, by the way, if you don't mind me mentioning, the two of you just re-upped, I think, through 2016. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, they paid you. I'm not even going to ask you how much you make because I don't want to have a heart attack here. But I got to tell you, you did manage to keep all the really good pieces in place. Yeah, you know, Buster Posey just signed for an incredible amount of money, but you had to keep Posey. I think the way it's working is it looks like every year or so you guys are going to, as long as these guys continue to improve and play well, you're going to end up with a team that looks very much the same for maybe the next 3 or 4 years. You know, it's not going to be easy. You know, you got the Dodgers, who you always have to deal with. You know, you've got the Arizona Diamondbacks, who 2 years ago, they put on a show and made it all the way to the postseason. But you got to feel good about this team. Do you feel like you got the guys you need right now?
We do. And, Saves, who you mentioned, he just did a terrific job of keeping his team intact and giving us a chance to try to get back to the postseason. And not just us, but if you notice around baseball, Bruce, teams are tying up their core players, which I like. I really do. I know, gosh, you go, wow, that's a lot of money. How can they do that? But when we were growing up, you know, the best players, they stayed with the same team.
That's
your
right.
Your favorite team, you always had your players. So I like the fact that baseball is getting like that and players aren't moving as much you know, because of this free agency. So I like what we're doing, tying up our guys. It makes the task of managing a lot less daunting when you have the same guys or pretty much the same core players coming in. They know you. I know them. They know what to expect from me and vice versa. And you know, they learn how to play together. And sometimes that takes time. But when you keep them together, it does make it a lot easier. And I'm just fortunate that, you know, we have the you know, financial resources to do it.
You know what? Thanks to thanks to your media guy out there, and how good you're always to me, Bruce. And for those of you that don't know this, Bruce and I played on the same Little League All-Star team back when I was a foot taller than he was, and now he's a foot taller than me, and he takes care of me like a little brother, and I appreciate that. But the thing that I noticed, because I go into a lot of different clubhouses now, Bruce, you know, when I'm down there for spring training, the difference between your clubhouse and every other clubhouse that I went in down there, and there were about 3 or 4 I went in, is everybody hangs out with everybody else. I mean, I've never seen chemistry like that since college. I mean, do you feel that way about your guys?
Well, they do like each other. They have a good time. You know, we're a very diverse group, but, you know, that works if you have the right group of guys, and it's a, really a special thing when you get 25 guys that do like each other and have fun getting on each other or making fun, but at the same time care for each other as much as I know our guys do. And there's other teams like this. It's not like we're, you know, sitting around singing Kumbaya. It's just these guys, they love playing together, and they pull for each other. They have each other's backs, and they're from all over, as you know. From my hitting coach is from Curacao. We have players from Venezuela, Puerto Rico, Japan. Well, we just sent him down, but Dominican and here, it's just a really neat thing when you get a group of guys that have the same goal and same cause, and they play together.
You know, I would be not doing you or your team a service. I'd be doing a disservice if I didn't let you talk real quickly about your assistant coaches. You got, in my opinion, you got four or five of the greatest guys that you could be around. You want to just talk real quickly about Ronnie and those guys?
Well, I think I have the best staff in baseball. In fact, I'm surprised a couple of clubs haven't come and
raped
them away. because, you know, usually when a team has success, you start losing your coaches. But Ron Wotus is my bench coach. He's been here since I've been managing the Giants, and he's one that runs spring training. But, you know, just helps me, a guy that I bounce things off. You know, he covers me in the dugout if, you know, if there's another option. So well prepared. I'm sure he's probably working on the Dodgers right now as we speak. Dave Righetti, who I've been fortunate. I've been doing this for a while, but what he does as a pitching coach, it's pretty amazing how he gets these guys to believe and had just has that knack, that ability to to get them to learn how to pitch, how to get the guy out. You know, it's not so much mechanics with him, but it's more mental with him. And, you know, when a pitching coach goes up to the mound, he's probably got 30 seconds to get him back on track. He's the best I've seen at that. But really, Tim Flannery, he and I go back when we played together in San Diego, Roberto Kelly, who probably could be an extra outfielder on this team. He's been that good.
He's in shape.
First base for me. And Mark Garner in the bullpen, Billy Hayes. These guys, you know, when I get extended, and I know I get a lot of attention, but believe me, I never stop thanking these guys. In fact, we're just about to extend them, too, and get that done.
Well, that's fantastic that you're doing that. We're talking to Bruce Bochy, the manager of the San Francisco Giants, the World Series champion two out of the last 3 years. Giants, also former Bailey's Crossroads Little League All-Star. and I got to tell you, Boch, I don't think you get back till August this season to the D.C. area. I do know in September, I looked at your schedule, and, you know, our show over the air goes out in New York, right outside of New York City in what's called Westchester County. I know you know where that is. And you're becoming a hell of a golfer, so you need to bring your golf clubs when you go to New York. But you know, what's happening is I'm pretty sure in September you have a series with the Yankees and the Mets, like two series in a row. Is that correct? Do you remember seeing that? Or you're not even looking at the schedule, are you?
No, I look at it. I don't have it down like some of my players. I mean, they can tell you where we are on July 23rd. We do in September. We play the Mets, and from there we stay at the same hotel. We stay there, and we go play the Mets. I mean, the Yankees. So we have six games in New York, and this is mid-September, which is really strange because normally you're in your own division September as you're going down the stretch line, but we have to head to New York.
All right, real quick, Boch, because we're I know you got to go out with Kim and buy her Easter brunch, and we're getting ready to get off this segment, but who was your biggest surprise in camp in a positive way?
You know, I can't say surprise, but I thought Brandon Crawford and Belt, they just played incredible baseball.
Those are my boys.
they're really coming on and maturing as players, and I'd love to see their growth as major league players. And you know, last year Crawford hit I think just under 250, and Bell came on second half, but they just really had a great spring, and they had to work it out. The first two games against the Dodgers, we're facing two lefties, including Kershaw, so that's going to be a rough two games. But I just love the way they compete. I think they're about to break out and have it, you know, some big years.
Well, listen, I can't thank you enough for calling in this morning on Easter Sunday. You didn't have to do that, but it was super of you. Listen, I know you're going to be watching those two basketball games later today to see who goes to the Final Four. Please tell Kim I said hi. And, Bruce, thank you so much for coming on. Bruce Bochy, San Francisco Giants manager, World Series champ. Thanks, Bruce.
All right. Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate it.
Good luck to you in L.A., buddy. Beat L.A.
All right. Thanks.
New NeoGraft Hair Restoration Program at Park Avenue Medical Spa is going 6 months strong. Receive a $500 credit for any hair restoration treatment booked in February. More info at parkavenuemedicalspa.com. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on Easter Sunday.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
This is Bruce Hall, and I don't think Roy G's back unless... Is Roy on the line or is it Tony? We don't have anybody.
We're all alone right now.
We're all alone.
It's just you and me and the Easter Bunny.
Well, good. But, you know, I can pick off where I left off. It was great having Bruce Bochy on the phone. Look, for you people out there that think that Major League managers and general managers and players are a bunch of jerks, let me explain this to you. I call a jerk, okay? If somebody, and by the way, there was a guy in a Colorado Rocky clubhouse when I went there, a certain guy who a lot of people know his name by heart because he's an all-star. But when I went there to interview Michael Kadir, who actually is one of the greatest people you'll ever meet in your life, and is from Great Bridge, Virginia, that went to Great Bridge High School, that knows everybody I know, that has played in his, he's now in his 16th year of professional baseball, was a first round draft choice out of high school. He and Bochy are the same. They are the greatest people you'll ever meet. They know how lucky they are to be doing what they're doing and being paid handsomely for it. Players make, you know, double, sometimes quadruple what even the best managers make. I was kind of surprised to find out that general managers only make about half of what managers do, because GMs are very important to what they do too. But you know what? I'd work for free if I did what Brian Sabian did. And believe me, Brian, I know you know me. I could do what you do. Not maybe the same way you do it, but I could do that. And Boch is so good to me. You know, we go way back. I lost track of him from the time he was about 16 or 17 when he moved to Florida from Northern Virginia. And I didn't see him again until he was in AAA in a bullpen catching a pen in Norfolk, Virginia, which is where the AAA Mets organization was. And I want to say that was 1979. And I almost didn't recognize him except for his face and his ears and his head. He didn't look the same. He looked like a friggin' monster. He was huge. And he's still huge. If you watch Bruce Bochy walk to the mound to get a baseball, they can't wait to give it to him, and they just hope he doesn't grab him around the throat while he's out there. But he's a very, very modest, very soft-spoken, super intelligent guy. Stuff comes out of his mouth that I'm thinking and I haven't said yet, and it comes right out of his mouth when we're talking. And the greatest thing I like about Bochy is he'll talk baseball with me for hours. He doesn't have to do that. I'm just some guy that's got a radio show in New York. Well, like, you know, I mean, he's in San Francisco. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm sitting here spouting off about how much I like my old friend. I'm still older than him. Of course, as you get older, it's not a good thing to be older than everybody. But I would say that nobody's given the San Francisco Giants a chance to win it all. As a matter of fact, ESPN, who... I don't know what that stands for, but it must stand for I'm stupid as hell, because they're experts. Not one of them picked the Giants. I want to say it's 34 or 43 people. I'm a little dyslexic with my memory, so it's one of those two. It's either out of 34 experts or 43 experts. Four of them picked them to win their division. Most people pick the Dodgers. Four people picked the Dodgers to win the pennant. Nobody picked the Giants. Guess what? All you guys out there that get to Vegas, you know, get a Southwest Airlines ticket fly to Vegas before this season gets too old, play the San Francisco Giants, and play the Detroit Tigers. Oh, by the way, the two teams that played in the World Series last year are the two teams best coming back. The Dodgers have no chemistry, okay? They're not going to do anything. Arizona, terrible. Cincinnati, Dusty Baker couldn't beat me in a game with equal talent, okay? He couldn't. Trust me, he couldn't, okay? St. Louis, I call the St. Louis Cardinals what I see, a men's softball team. That's what they look like. They all look like they're 30 pounds overweight, 20 pounds overweight. Maybe they're doing human growth hormone, but they haven't figured out how to actually make it work for them yet, except to make them look fat.
Budweiser doesn't count as human growth hormone.
Well, they got to be drinking plenty
if
of that.
So, I am so on the juice.
They got to be drinking plenty of that.
But it's working for me because I am growing out.
Do you have Tony's number? Can you send Tony a message and tell him to call back in? Please do, because I want to talk Cleveland Indian baseball. You know, Jason Kipnis. If you look at a lot of the – evidently Cleveland is going to hit 290 as a team this year. They need pitching desperately. They have no minor league organization really that's sending them a lot of guys. That's why they brought guys up early. But Tony knows Cleveland. I'll tell you what else he just told me today. They're not going to get – Brandon Whedon has got the job at quarterback. They are not going to shop for another quarterback. That tells me two things. Number one, they are out of money. Or number two, they like Brandon Whedon, who's a 29-year-old rookie last year, who played, oh, by the way, professional baseball for several years. Pretty good athlete, pretty good arm. I want the Cleveland Browns to beat everybody except the Ravens because I like John Harbaugh. And, you know, if I see him again, Roy's got a couple of short clips. Roy told me, Roy, I love you. Listen to this. Roy goes, hey, I got an interview with John Harbaugh. Did you hear it? It was like he was putting the microphone in when there were like 50 microphones there. But my point is that, you know, Johnny Harbaugh is somebody that I think Roy will end up eventually going over to the Ravens facility and sitting down with him for a half an hour and talking about Ravens football. John Harbaugh is phenomenal. His brother-in-law got the crap kicked out of him. His brother-in-law, Tom Crean, is the Indiana head coach of basketball. Whoops! That didn't work out too good. But you know what? Hey, they got there, and they do have one of the best. Oladipo is probably one of the best. He'll be a lottery pick, except I think he's like a sophomore maybe. I think he's a sophomore. But anyway, you know, we talked about, did you say Tony was on the phone?
No.
Oh, he's probably at church already.
He's getting lunch.
Yeah, he's getting that or something. Anyway, the Central, we didn't talk with Tony about Michael Bourne because, you know, I was saying that I thought he got too much money. I'm pretty sure Tony thinks he did. And I checked Michael Bourne's numbers in spring training, you know, last week. Not good. They were like around 200. Alex Rijos with the White Sox is the best right fielder, it looks like. Josh Willingham, I only gave Bruce Bochy bad information. It wasn't bad information. It was like not the greatest information in the world. But when Josh Willingham was with the Washington Nationals 3 or 4 years ago, he played left field for him. He hit like 25 home runs. I didn't see him really being a good left fielder like for the Giants, because you got to play great defense in that big ballpark that they have. And Josh Willingham, as good a hitter as he is and as great a guy as he is and as many runs and he scored and drove in, I just didn't see him as a Giant. So they trade him to Minneapolis, or he signs as a free agent with the Twins, and he hits like 35 home runs. You know, now that could be because Target Park's smaller, but he's still – the man in Minnesota. Him, Joe Mauer, and the first baseman. And I can't think of his name to save my life, but he's been out for 2 years with a concussion. You know, let me explain something to you about concussions. If you're out 2 years with a concussion, you're the kind of guy, in my opinion, I shouldn't say this because he was probably really injured, but you're kind of the kind of guy that calls in sick when he has a headache. Drink some water, take a couple of Advil, and go to freaking work, will you? I mean, come on. It's baseball. In the American League West, I was lucky enough to go see the Giants play the Anaheim. Well, they're not the Anaheim. The Angels. I guess they are the Anaheim Angels. And
they're just traveling up the coast. It'll be Long Beach. Then it'll be like, you know.
It could end up being Sacramento, for Christ's sake. But the thing that is, well, they're talking about moving back to L.A. They're not in L.A. They're in Anaheim. No one wants to be in L.A. They want to be in Anaheim. But here's the deal. They got Albert Pujols, Josh Hamilton, and Mike Trout. Three of the greatest players in the game. All Hall of Famers in the future. Guess who I talk to as soon as I walk through the right field corner, 20 steps towards the press box and to go upstairs? Josh. Josh calls me out. We're going to talk about what we talked about. You got to know what Josh Hamilton is really like as a person. And that will be when we return. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We'll be back in a minute.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Hey, I'm back with Matt, and we're going to talk a little bit about where am I going to be next weekend, Matt? Where in the world is Boosie? I'll be in Augusta, Georgia at my 29th straight Masters.
It's nice of you to join us in studio for a little bit.
You know. Yeah, I like to come here. You know,
the chair was missing you.
You know what?
The microphone was bothering me all week. Where's Bruce, man?
It's going to be warmer down there than it is here, I can tell you that. It's been the coldest freaking early spring I've ever seen. Look, I leave spring training last weekend. When did I come back? Because I did the show down there, or I tried to do the show down there. I kept getting bounced around like you know, a pinata. But I got to tell you, I get back, right? I leave there, it's 85, it's perfect. People playing golf everywhere. Baseball everywhere. Rainouts, no such thing as a rainout. None, right? I get off the plane in Baltimore. It's snowing. Yeah. There's 3 inches of snow on the ground in Virginia where I live. Kids did not go to school that day.
Yeah, my kid.
You know why? Because it was winter. It was spring break.
My kids actually had their.
Our spring break.
Yeah, they called school off. We're like, it's March.
You
doing?
You know what? It's April 1st tomorrow. You know, if somebody tells me it's 70 degrees, that could be the best April Fool's joke of the day. Because it isn't going to be 70, I don't think, for 3 weeks. But anyway, I'm going to Augusta, Georgia, where it's 70 all the time. Hell, it's 70 in Augusta in December. People play golf down there. Hello, they play baseball year-round. It's a lot of fun. I'm going to Augusta Saturday. I drive down during, I do the same thing every year, during, guess what? The first game of the Final Four will be on the radio. So I get to listen to the pregame and the postgame, and I listen to the game. So that's three and a half hours right there. And then when I get to Augusta, because I've left early in the morning, like 10 o'clock. It's an 8-hour drive. I stop for barbecue on the way, because if you don't, you're a moron.
An 8-hour drive, you're just telling them, look for your truck because you are speeding.
Hey, I stop at south of the border and take a nap. No, I really don't. The nice thing about South Carolina is you can drive 90 and cops pass you. It's pretty cool. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I don't recommend anybody tweet while they're driving or drive 90 unless it's 90 kilometers per hour. If you drive 90 kilometers per hour, that's like 55.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
It's probably 45. No, it's 55. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. But I'll be in Augusta. We'll be doing the show from there either in a studio, which Matt says isn't as good as doing it through my computer, which if you listen to my show last week, you'll swear that's a lie. But it was fun. Roy was here, you know, trying to do what I do, which is, you know, it's funny when no one's here and I'm on the air. Matt likes it because I never stop running my mouth, and when no one can hear, I'm telling dirty jokes. We didn't talk about the Giants that much, but listen, if you watched the San Francisco Giants last year win the World Series in four straight, it was fun. They have a great team. They're going to continue to have a great team, and it couldn't happen to a guy who, by the way, played himself, my friend Bruce Bochy, played himself into the Hall of Fame last year. I mean, if he doesn't play another game the rest of his career, he's in the Hall of Fame as a manager. And he happened to be a pretty decent second-string catcher, too. You know, he was a great receiver, and that's what made him a great, great coach. We're going to talk, though. I'll be in Augusta. My number, by the way, my 800 number is 1-800. Write this down. Does everybody have a pen? Pick up a pen. Put that damn chocolate bunny down and pick up a pen. Ready? 1-800-466-4748. If you're listening to the show, I want you to call it right now because I want to hear Rodney Dangerfield's horn go off. 1-800-466-4748. That's 1-800-466-4748. If you get a wild hair and say next Saturday or Sunday or even Monday, you decide, you know what? I should call Bruce because I could get next weekend off and I'm rich. Come on. I'm filthy rich. I've never been to the Masters. Give me a call. I'll hook you up.
How cool would it be to be able to tell your friends, I went to the Masters on a whim?
Well, you know what? I got to tell
you. I just felt like it,
well,
you know.
Well, I invited Clark Judge, who's the top CBS guy on the radio, in my opinion. He's phenomenal. I mean, he goes to all the best games. And I thought Clark was going to be able to go. And, you know, he was extremely happy when I told him I'd take him. But he can't go this year, so we're going to have to do it again some other time. But I do that from time to time. I mean, I'll invite somebody. And then after I've done it, I go, geez, I don't even like that guy. No, I'm just kidding. I like everybody. And by the way, you shouldn't hate. Don't be hating on anybody. All hate does is hurt the hater.
And you go out.
That's true.
You go, like, rent houses, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You rent houses out on the fairway.
No. Not for the tournament. No, you can't get in there.
Okay.
No. Dude, let me explain something. The only people that stay in the cabin on property, they're billionaires. Okay. They're billionaires or they're members that just happen to be multimillionaires. But no.
Yeah, the next best thing. You drive people.
Well, let me tell you.
Last year I remember calling you like, oh, I have to get these people here.
Well, no, a lot of people I help out. Like I'll throw four of my best friends who happen to be clients too in my Suburban. And I drive and drop them off right at the gate. And then I'll go back and pick them up if they leave me a message. Now, here's what you can't do at the Masters. You can't run ever. Listen to what I'm saying. If you have a Masters badge and you get caught running, your butt is going to the gate. And they're taking your badge, which, by the way, is worth $3,000 minimum, $3,500 a year to the badge holder. And guess what? He doesn't get it back anymore. So you've just cost that guy five figures for the rest of his life. Now, he can't sue you for it, but he can certainly hit you in the head with a baseball bat the next time he sees you. No, you want to get – listen, if you go to the Masters, people ask me, what is it like? I've been to 15, 20 Super Bowls. I think I've been to 18 Super Bowls. Going to the Masters is like going to the Super Bowl 4 days in a row. Only it's better because from the time you walk in, it's 7 – you get your chair straight. They tee it up at 8:15 on Thursday and Friday because they have about 130 players in. Once the cut's made, okay, they're done at almost. They're done almost at sunset. So you're there all day. You leave, then the next day you do it all over again. Now on Saturday and Sunday, once they've made the cut, there's anywhere from 44 to about 60 golfers. Which means you still got to go early to put your chair down, but guess what? Nobody tees off till 11 because they have to have prime time, you know, in the afternoon, late afternoon is when they finish.
And you know all the chair tricks. I remember you talking about that last year. And we'll probably have to talk about that next week. We have about 4 minutes.
We have 4 minutes. Let me tell you. Is there anything else? Do you have any questions? Like,
I actually do. All right. So all right. I know nothing
Matt's
about golf.
Good for
so
this.
I don't care about anybody on the field.
Right.
But like, what is the crowd like
Tiger Woods.
Outside of? Probably the only golfer I know.
You mean outside the fence?
Yeah. I'm just saying outside in the crowd. Like, you know, this is big money people. Are you seeing Jack Nicholson or who's famous for hitting people with golf clubs?
You see a few people that are famous. Most of the time, those famous people are at the clubhouse because a lot of them are like guests of golfers. It's becoming more and more corporate now. Last year was the first time that they actually had a corporate area that the National had. Because people that are a little older remember a time not long ago where the Masters was so tired of people not boycotting some of their customers because they wouldn't let women in the club or whatever. I don't mean in the club. I mean as members of the club. Yeah. And there's two now, by the way, and I don't care who they are. Doesn't matter. They're not the two I would have put in, but all I'm saying is this:
the two.
It's like going. If you're a golfer, going to the Masters is like going to church. It's very quiet because people have respect for the game. You can't run. You can't scream. You can't go. You the man. You the man.
I've seen you on TV.
Hey, if you yell, you the man. You gone. And you got like six Pinkertons taking you out, like, and none of your feet are touching the ground. I mean, you're literally in the air and they carry you out.
It's basically like one of those,
yeah.
Like the gong show.
It's worse than that. You're basically arrested. You're basically arrested. Now, I don't think they can arrest you for that, but they take you. Hey, they take that badge you paid $4,000 for and it gone. Just like you, it gone. It's going to be great. Tiger Woods is on fire again. He's actually got a girlfriend who likes to have sex, probably unlike his ex-wife.
And I can say that because
I got a feeling that one of the reasons Tiger was having sex with porn stars, because maybe, you know, mommy just wasn't the same. Okay. Lindsey Vonn, she's hot.
Going back to my question, okay. Maybe not celebrities, but like business titans. That's who I imagine is going to be here.
Well, they are, but you don't know who they are.
Well, and if you watch CNBC, you'll be able to see. Is Michael Dell going to be there?
Well, now, let me just say this. The Masters will never show a celebrity at a tournament like they do CBS and NBC and them do. No, they don't do that. They don't need that. They don't need that. The Masters.
I'm just throwing a wild hair out here because I'm a marketer by trade.
Sure you are.
Would you be able to like...
Is that anything like a pervert?
Yeah, almost.
Okay. Go ahead.
Would you be able to give like one of these Fortune 500 CEOs your card?
Oh, absolutely. And I do I do that all the time. But those guys, a lot of them have contacts and they're starting to do stuff corporately.
That would be worth it for me.
Can I tell you what? I will work the Masters the year I'm dying because it's... It's too easy. It's about contacts, and it is the greatest sporting event I've ever been to, ever. Mm. I love the World Series. Don't get me wrong, but it's a 3-hour game. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, the Masters is like 12 hours. Listen to me, times four. That's not counting practice rounds. We're getting ready to leave. Is that 30 seconds, or are you just showing me the size of
That's
something?
A-OK.
Oh, we're... A-OK.
Yes,
Spanky. Hey, Panky. Somebody trying to tell me.
So next week, you're live from the Masters.
Next week, I'll be in Augusta, Georgia, doing what I do, which is hanging out with the greatest golfers in the world. And, you know, with a little luck, I might actually have a couple of interviews next week. Because you know where I do see these guys that are golfers? T-Bones and Five Guys. We're out of here. You've listened to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk. 1230 WFAS. We'll be back next week.